Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community, that's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild Louis of Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Join us early on Wednesday for Keeping It Brief, and then come back later that evening as we turn up the heat with The Art of Seduction. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft of Song Art with Richard and Neutron, and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry, and Saturday, split with Grey Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, and Myths and Legend of... And exploring aphasia with Captain B2 and Daniel. And if you're looking for a little more edgy around, then check out our after midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m. Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Take a walk on the wild side Tuesday. Sit in with Jeremy as he brings you the headliner's ball on Thursday. Break on through with Pam on Friday. Sit in with Aphasiana and Babla on Saturday as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. And as you heard, This very morning, we had added a new show with Stelina and Arcana called Delving Into the Darkness. Check out the contest and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poem and hang for the fun. Good evening, Jean.
Well, hello, Rex. And how are you?
I'm doing just fine. That's it.
That's wonderful.
Are you pierogied out yet?
I think I am. I think I really am.
Nothing like a pot sticker to really stick to the ribs.
Look, I've seen more pierogies today than I've seen in my life, I think. Not really. But we made a lot of them today. And it was such a neat challenge because it was something different, you know. So my daughter just looked at me. I said, you know, this is a learning experience for you. For me?
So have you got enough leftovers to a few more dips into that stuff?
I think we might have enough leftover for another couple meals. Maybe.
Nice.
See, the trick is now that we know what we're – well, wait a minute. Let me take that back. Rewind. Now that we've accomplished this, the next time we make them, we'll just make them and layer them and then freeze them. And then we won't have to, you know, kind of use them up.
There you go.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to do it all at once.
Right. And since we didn't really know what we were doing, it was like we make it and then we would cook them and give it a try and, you know. Then, of course, we didn't know where to stop. So we just cooked them all. But next time we'll know.
Have a meal while you're cooking the bloody things and sit down and eat some more.
Pretty much. That's pretty much what it was. You know, we made this flavor, so then we cooked them and we tried them, and then we made that kind. And, you know, we cooked them and we tried them, and then we made that kind. And we cooked them and we tried those. Then the other ones, we kind of looked at each other and said, we know these are okay. So then we went, and we didn't know what anybody was going to want to eat because, you know, my son wasn't here. And, you know, we weren't sure what the hell we were really going to want to eat. So we just made them and boiled them and fried them. And now I have a whole bunch of fully cooked pierogies in my refrigerator. It's okay. They were well worth the adventure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah. So, and what did you cook this weekend? Anything exciting?
I just did a... I took some potatoes, sliced them thin, and sliced them like almost matchsticks.
Mm-hmm.
Sauteed them in a pan, added some sliced bacon near the end to finish them up, and then dropped in two eggs and some cheese for a nice meal.
That's a winner all the way around in my book. I've never met a potato that I didn't like. I have to say that. I really have not. I enjoy potatoes a lot. And eggs are always a winner in my book. And bacon, not too bad. Not too bad. It's not my like meat that I would, like breakfast meat that I would go to, but it's not bad. Absolutely. But it sounds like a winning combination.
Oh, it is. Because some nice ground Mediterranean salt and some ground black pepper, a little bit of onion. And let it go in the pan until it's halfway done. You got the potatoes browned, drop in the bacon, let that add some extra flavor to the mix, and then finish it out with the two eggs and stir it into a nice, fluffy meal.
That sounds wonderful. It does. That sounds wonderful. Anybody who knows me here at the house, you know, my favorite thing is when I have leftover mashed potatoes. I'll heat them up the next day, and I'll go ahead and I'll make a couple eggs over medium, you know, drop them right on top of those mashed potatoes, a couple pieces of toast, and I'm a happy girl, you know. Eggs and potatoes are winners to me. They work well.
Well, you should try it another way. Go to when you got leftover mashed potatoes like that again, go with Benedict, except the English muffin.
Yeah.
You use the mashed potatoes. You fry them nice and brown on both sides as your bottom. Drop in whatever Canadian bacon, ham, or some gabagool, and then drop your eggs on top with some hollandaise.
Sounds like a winner to me. I'm telling you, it's all good. It is all good. So potatoes and eggs, I don't know, for some reason they just seem to be right together. This is my theory. So listen, tell us what we're doing tonight. We got Pink Floyd Part 2, right?
Yes, it's Part 2 of Dark Side of the Moon. We did a half of them last week, and we got the other half this week. So we're going to finish out. I don't think I mentioned this album, Dark Side of the Moon, was they're kind of stepping out. Before, they had always done a lot of psychedelia. And if you listen to the song we just played, plus Breathe and a couple other little brief interludes, they still held that psychedelia touch. But the songs we're getting to tonight, like Money and Time and Breathe, kind of walk in a new era of Pink Floyd, where Roger Waters had already taken over the writing duty since they had put Syd Barrett on the bench for his dipping over the edge of sanity. And this was their dip into that world, and it proved great because this album outsold everything for quite a few years before it was finally taken down, I think, by ACD's Back in Black at one point, and maybe something else besides. But this was a top-selling album. I mean, overall, I think they've done close to 50 million albums in sales since 1973. And it was, I think it was their eighth studio album. So they were well on their way. And this was their first dip, adding a little bit more pop angle, but not really, because they still, with Time and Money, you got into the cash registers and you got into the ticking clocks. So they were still adding little tidbits to their music, which bumped it up a notch.
Amazing. That's very cool stuff. You know,
for another album, I think somewhere down the line, I'll have to get into Animals, because Roger Waters kind of hit on that notion of reading George Orwell's Animal Farm and transferring the sort of music into that note with the Animals, the album. So somewhere down the line, I'll have to dig into that one.
That'd be neat. I'm sure you have some people jumping on that one, too. Nice.
Oh, hell yes. Mm-hmm. But for an upcoming, Led Zeppelin's Houses of the Holy just turned 50 this year, too, so I've got to swing that into the mix.
Very good.
Next week, we've got TV music themes, the likes of True Blood, The Sopranos, The Wire, Veronica Mars, and I think five or six other ones to boot. So that ought to be a new session with just The Sopranos and True Blood as part of the lead-in.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good one. Good stuff, Rex. Good stuff. Music will keep you busy forever. You know?
Oh, yes, they will.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to do another one of these TV themes, because I thought about Frasier and Selena Marks. Oh, that's my favorite. So I thought about Frasier. I said, nah, that can go for another time. Because I had the Sopranos and The Wire and True Blood, so this kind of, it did kind of walk a more darker line. So I kept it there.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, I think Pam fell asleep tonight. I don't see her hiding her hair over anywhere. Yeah, I can call her in. I think I'm going to try and call her in next. Talk about something. What happens?
Yeah, she hasn't been around since 10 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, what's up with that? She got a lot of nerve. Yes.
Got awful quiet. You must be. Must be going into the green. Well, anyway. What else we got? Hey, any of you out there listening at the moment, you got suggestions? Hey, I'm open up for musical suggestions. Just send me your thoughts, and I will check into it. Even if you've got a couple of songs from that particular group that you enjoy, message me on those too, and I'll definitely put some of that into the mix, because I never have never have enough choices to opt from. So it's always a pleasure getting a little input from y'all, since you do have the content. There you are.
I'm here. Yeah. Well, you know, my phone has this habit. When I go to look for something, it automatically mutes me. And, of course, I'm not on the screen to unmute it. I can't unmute it. And if I'm trying to do something like when I'm on a mission, yeah, sometimes on a mission, not always by God, but I'm always on a mission. And once I'm done, then I have to go back and do it again. Let's see now. That's not happening. Let's try it this way. Let's try it that way. Yeah. No, I got the number. I don't have to be on the mission no more.
No, so, okay, well, you want me to start the party off with a song?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's see what I got. Okay, here we go. And the song is Breathe in the Air.
Oh, okay, dokie. Well, I am here. Yes. Now, the first piece that goes with this is by Betty Page, and I have an audio for this, which I like when Betty Page does it. Yeah, they're always good. Okay, here we go, and this is called Shattered Pink by Betty Page. Let me hit the button.
Shattered pink. Daydreaming again, rainbow teardrops flood my soul. Blue rain consumes me, dancing on the moon. Sapphire skies of darkness, stars shimmering sweet. Melancholy world, gone are the days of laughter, swimming tears of pain. Diamonds were stolen, manic depression swirls round. Tearless on pillows, embracing heartbreak, gazing upon shooting stars hidden behind walls, staring out windows, freezing icy cold within, pure cocaine numbness, nightclubs, fine groupies, smashing guitars, cherries sweet, crimson stained glass, screaming view of world, vivid silence consumed, pornographic stars, run away to breathe, weeping uncontrollably, lost in cruel chaos. End poem.
Nice.
Great read, Betty. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. And Jean, why don't we start with you?
How did I know you were coming to me, Rex? How did I know?
It's just us today.
Exactly. I think Betty did an excellent job with this prompt. I really do. And I love how she does the 5-7-5. She really does them well. She has, you know, this chain of 5-7-5s with this salon, and they make perfect sense. And I thought it was really clever of her. Diamonds were stolen, manic depression swirls round, cheerless on pillows, embracing heartbreak, gazing upon shooting stars hidden behind walls. It's a great, the word I want. They just all pull together beautifully. And I think that it's a hell of a way to tell a story. And I think it's intriguing to me how she pulls it off. I mean, you know, it takes some real thought to do 5-7-5, 5-7-5, 5-7-5. You know, even though it sounds simple, like when I said it, you know, you got to get the right words and the right number of syllables, and you're going to pull all it together, and you really have to have it make sense. You know, it's not like you just throw one in there, it doesn't make any sense, and it just doesn't work. So, Betty, I think you did a great job with this. Thank you for the SoundCloud. I always love when you hear it in your voice. And, yeah, excellent job. Excellent job. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Thank you. I think the title offers up its own thought, Shattered Pink, is an impartation to sadness, just in that. I think the shattered pink offers up a note to soul, to heart, to the flesh itself, in that note of being shattered, splintered, so to speak. It's on that right up top. You get a positive note going in for the first line, but it downgrades from there. Daydreaming again, rainbow teardrops flood my soul, blue rain consumes me. Already you're walking in sadness. The double dip, rainbow teardrops. I like that. And then blue rain offered up behind that to exemplify the thought where the rainbow is. Dancing on the moon, sapphire skies of darkness, stars shimmering sweet. Again, it seems to be a note of happiness. We're dancing on the moon, sapphire skies of darkness. It's on that note of rainbow again, but a lot darker, as sapphire is a nice, deep, rich blue. And stars shimmering sweet, again, a little bit of happiness. And then right into the third one, melancholy worlds, dawn of the days of laughter, swimming tears of pain. Now the tears are a lot more apparent, almost swollen in the thought going. Diamonds were stolen, manic depression swirls around, tearless on pillows, being the thought of being all cried out, but manic depression swirls around. The diamonds were stolen, diamonds in one's eyes, diamonds in one's heart, diamonds in one's thought to spirituality. There's heaviness in that, those three lines right there. And then embracing heartbreak, gazing upon shooting stars hidden behind walls. Again, locking oneself up because of that heartbreak. Again, staring out windows. And I like this. Freezing icy cold within, pure cocaine numbness. The pure cocaine numbness is a nice thought to actually impart that freezing, icy cold within. The full notation of being out in cold weather and you're numb because of that biting coldness. And then the last three groupies, the nightclubs fine, no, last three groupies, last three standing, the nightclubs fine groupies, screaming view of world, and the runaway to breathe. They hit on, again, a loss in there because the nightclubs aren't the same anymore. You got the Crimson Stained Glass. Look at that as your eyes, the mirrors to your soul. Vivid Silence Consumes, Pornographic Stars. That's the notion that the scene has gone a little bit over the edge. It no longer runs the same way. And the film that last band is Runaway to Breathe, Weeping Uncontrollably, Lost in Cruel Chaos. Everything seems to be broken at this point in time. And you got to run away and just to breathe, but also to get away from the cruelty of that which you are buried within. So very sad and quite the piece there, buddy. Thank you very much. All right. Mm-hmm. Back in
the next one I'm going to put up is by Julie Butler. This is called Does Hyperventilating Count as Breathing? So I'm going to give this one a read. And here we go. Does Hyperventilating Count as Breathing? By Julie Buck. I am dirty, rebellious, sweaty, and the flare of lyrical love. I am music and don't need to care. Everything I've ever touched or seen, learned or lost, is who I am and can never careen. Get up, orders life. You are wrong. No, I yell. I must lay here and be the victim. Otherwise, how else will there be a song? Inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. Pound your hammer on the nail. When the sun grows low, don't you wail. More pounding needed, don't you go. Even finding balance and riding the most wild wind still puts you 6 feet under in the end. Like the hunted rabbit, I'm running and seething and wondering if a panic hyperventilating still counts as breathing. And home.
Great read, Gene. I like that thought with the title, Does Hyperventilating Count and Breathing? As a point of reference, you're hyperventilating, you're getting a little in. Not nearly enough, but you're getting a little. That's why you're on that roll, on that opening. I am dirty, rebellious, sweaty, and the flare of lyrical love. I am music and don't need to care. That sounds quite a bit of self right there. And that next stanza offers up the point of life. Everything you experience within life is what makes up who and what you are and how you see, view, and feel things in and around your particular circle. That third stanza hits hard. Get up, orders life. You are wrong. No, I yell. I must lay here and be the victim. Otherwise, how else will there be a song? There will always be a song with the imagination that you can roll within your voice. And this is imaginative, the idea of not locking yourself up, the thought of life ordering, don't lock yourself up. There are still things that you can and will experience. Like that old saying goes, it says you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that's a load of shite, because if you can learn just one or two things each and every single day, then you are better off than you were the day before. And that's the experience of that life gives you. I like the next one, too. The thought of breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Pound your hammer on the nail. When the sun grows low, don't you will. More pounding needed, don't you go. That's the effort there. Don't give up on life. Even if that hammer of life pounds you into the ground, you get back up and walk into that very next stanza. Finding balance, which is good. And I do like that last one. Like the hunted rabbit, I'm running and seething and wondering if a panic hyperventilating still counts as breathing. And the answer is, you might be scared. But as long as you're panicked, it's a feeling that tells you you're alive. And if you're hyperventilating, you're still getting a little bit of air. You just need to slow down a little bit because running will overdo it. Nicely done, Julie.
Yeah.
All right, Gene, how about you?
Well, damn, what can I add to that? It was a great
anything
read.
Your little heart desires.
Anything my little heart desires. Wow. Well, you know, it was a great read. I enjoyed reading it out loud. I like how she pulled it all together here. I'm dirty, rebellious, sweaty, and the flare of lyrical love. I am music and don't need to care.
right there, I thought that was an intriguing way to start this off. Because I didn't know what direction she was going to go based on the title. I'm going, okay. And then it was, get up, orders life. You're wrong. No, I yell. I must lay here and be the victim. Otherwise, how else would there be song? You know, so many things as poets or songwriters or anybody else, certain things trigger you and inspire you or bring out that creativity. And sometimes, you know, running through the school hard knocks would be enough to really get you going. And I'm not sure if that's exactly what she meant, but I think that I thought it was clever stanza there. And the one inhale, exhale, I loved that one. I thought that was, because I made sure I kind of slowed down, you know, and kind of took the breath as I was reading it, because it just kind of, I wanted to feel where she was going there. And I thought she did that nicely. But I have to say, the end of it, when it says, like the hunted rabbit, I'm running and seething. I'm wondering if a panicked hyperventilating still counts as breathing. I went, okay, now she tied it all in together. Because when you get through all the rest of this poem, and now you're feeling like that hunted rabbit, you know, running and just wondering if, you know, you're really still kind of with us, you know, like, am I still alive? You know, I don't know. It's my take on it, but I'm a little crazy. But Julie, I thought this was a great read and I really enjoyed it. And I thought it was a great take on the prompt as well. So well done as always. Thank you.
Yeah, because she stuck with short lines. She went with offset rhyme to make it work. You look at the that first stanza is a 3 and a 6. Then you go to a 2 and a 4. And then you go to a 2 and a 6. And then back to back in the next stanza, plus a 3 to 6. And then a 2 to 4, and to finish out with a 2 to 5. So it helped places the piece as well.
Right. I think she really aced the prompt, you know, to tell you the truth. So great job, Julie, as always. I like it. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, right? Just quiet tonight. They all worn out. They must all been making plans today.
There must have been some nice weather across the country.
Oh,
barbecues, beer, and they must be hunting through the woods right now for each other.
Yeah, something like that. There you go. There you go. Total quiet. There you go. The whole place is kind of quiet, I think. Okay. Now I'm going to put this piece up for you, Rex. And this is called Out of Breath by Emma Lima. So here goes.
Out of Breath by Ima Rima. A hopping was this bunny hare when a hungry hawk grabbed up me, and we were flying through the air, but luck, I got dropped by the sea. That hawk was still circling around. Quick as a bunny, I hopped to dig a rabbit hole in the ground. Safe from the hawk, I sighed up. That hawk would bother me no more. Oh, I felt safe holed up here for sure, but then I heard an awful roar. My life quickly turned to manure. Down my hole washed an ocean wave. I dug myself an early grave. End poem.
Wow.
what do you think?
Wow. I'm reading it again because I don't want to lose track of anything because I did blink for a second. I forgot it was really short. Hopping was this bunny hare when a hungry hawk grabbed at me, and we were flying through the air. By luck, I got dropped by the sea. A hawk was still circling around, quick as a bunny. I hopped, so I dig a rabbit hole in the ground, safe from that hawk. I thought of you. That hawk would bother me no more. I felt safe, holed up here for sure. But then I heard an awful roar. Oh, gosh. Oh, poor bunny. Poor bunny. Oh, he would be out of breath. Just as soon as he thought he was safe from one thing, something else came and did him in. Terrible. Yeah, my hole washed an ocean wave. I dug myself an early grave. Oh, I like the rhyme of it. I like the fun of it. No, no, I shouldn't say the fun of it because I don't know if you'd call it fun. But I like the way it twisted and turned a little bit. It's just a nicely done piece. And, you know, I have to say, I guess, you know, it works with the prompt very well. So I have to say, I know why I'm not. I think you nailed this one, too. You know, you guys are getting good on us. Well, getting good? No. They're just showing us how good they are. So clever stuff. And thanks for sharing on me. And what did you think, Greg?
Well, I got a kick out of the back end of this, so I got to start with the top. This works as an Aesop's fable with a moral to the back end of this. A hoppy hopping happy bunny gets snared by a hawk, but lucks out because the grip wasn't strong enough, and he gets dropped by the shore, so he's safe. Yet now he's on the run, trying to find a place to hide because that hawk is still hanging around, and he's not nearly quick enough nor sharp enough to avoid those claws. So the moral of this story, when it comes to down my hole, wash an ocean wave, I dug myself an early grave, the thought is always be aware of your surroundings and never rush to an easy thing, especially when you think you've made it, because in those moments, something bigger comes along and ushers you to that early growth. And I did get a kick out of that ending moral, which offers up a wary tale of, hey, you better know what's going on at all times. Otherwise, you'll be deep in the shithole anyway. Out of the frying pan and into the pot.
Yeah. Well, we should never be any too sure of ourselves. That's one thing for sure. Don't be too sure that you made an escape. But, it was a great little piece.
Yeah, that breathe easy moment was quickly washed away.
Yes. And, you know, as it happened, it's kind of like, yeah, well, that sucks. You know, because there you are, standing right in it with them. You know, like, uh-oh. Just when you think it's safe, all of a sudden, nope, not tonight.
Yeah. Hey, those rabbit feet worked as a good luck charm to start the piece, but boy, did it end wrong. And he had four rabbit feet, and they weren't working their magic charm.
Absolutely. Okay, Ben. I'm going to put up another song. You ready? I'm putting up money. Here we go.
Yeah. wasn't the right. Nice, great song.
Mm-hmm. Now, here we go. This one, this one that lines up with it, is by Bill Schiller, and it's called Pink Side of the Moon. I'm going to give this one a read. And we see it. Here we go. Pink Side of the Moon by Bill Schiller. If progressive rock was an ocean, Roger provides the waters. Background screams and screams leading into symphony of sound, saxophones having sex, orgasms and rhythmic moan where lunatics run on grass. A great gig in the sky is not last curtain call. Time never stalls too soon. There is no dark side of the moon in some, as some think. Dark moons are hued in pink. Reality since 1973. Cash register chimes and rings, money to company. David Gilmour's guitar still speaks to me. He and I counter us and them. Any color you like can shade time's end. Pink Anderson and Floyd Council inspire friends. The sun may light the moon. Pink Floyd lit its eclipse. End poem.
Great Regine. Yes, this was quite the piece. I did bite onto this song because of the title itself, and it is a compilation and an anthem for the whole album because he hits on all the right notes. Progressive rock was notion, Roger Price Waters, referring to Roger Waters. The background screams and screams bleeding into a symphony sound. The thought of all the extra voice and words in there, the tones, the angle of playing with it, that note to saxophones having sex, that was definitely a nice note with this song itself. And orgasms and rhythmic moans, yes, where the lunatics were on the grass. So he's hitting on notes of the song, A Great Gig in the Sky, Time, and then There Is No Dark Side of the Moon, in reference to brain damage, Dark Moons of Hues in Pink, Reality 73. Pink is a note he finishes out on the back end of this with Pink Anderson and Floyd Council. They were the inspiration Pink Anderson was from South Carolina, and Floyd Council was from North Carolina, and they played the Piedmont Blues back in the 20s. And they took Pink and Floyd from those two guys because they enjoyed their music, and that's where the original name of the band came from, although at one point it started out as the Pink Floyd Sounds and then the Pink Floyd until one of the managers or record producers offered up, hey, just make it Pink Floyd, and that's what they did. And the ending, I like this too. The sun may light the moon, Pink Floyd lit its eclipse. And this did, at the time, this did eclipse all of Pink Floyd's music. So, Bill, wonderful tribute piece. Excellent with the thoughts generated. All right, Gene, how about you?
But this is a great piece by Bill. Great tribute piece. Really well done. So many great references throughout the whole poem itself. You know, I thought it was excellent work, and I really did enjoy it very much. You know, I mean, there's just each line has something. You know what I mean? Each line has something. So I thought that, he left no, like there was just not a kind of an empty line in there. You know, so. Excellent job, Bill, and thanks for sharing with us. I enjoyed it. Nice to read. Yep. Oh, I'm supposed to.
And he does reference this as it was the first album he bought as a Mother's Day gift.
That's what he said. Yes, I did read that. I did. And I bet his mother liked it. It's pretty cool. Maybe so, you know what my computer.
Nicely done, Bill.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Rex, I got the next one for you to read. I think this is above my pay grade. I think it was above my pay grade, so I had to leave it for you. So here you go. This is called A Life Well Spent, Conspicuous Presumption by Chris Edom.
A Life Well Spent, Conspicuous Presumption by Chris Edom. If you cannot take it with you when you leave it all behind, what's the point in banking greenbacks brought in from the daily grind? When you earn it, you should burn it. Pay the bills and cheat yourself. Live within the lap of luxury. Drink liquor that's off shelf. Drive sports cars, ultra sporty. Dine at 5-star rated places. Put 7 pairs of sneakers sporting 14 carat laces. The point is, don't deny your heart whatever it desires. People don't use stacks of cash to feed their funeral pies. Do you have a stash of cash you flagrantly flash? Oh boy, do you want to know it all? Forsooth in truth, I could give a rat's ass, yet you still seem to surely show it. You need to speed and greed is inconvertible. Guess new wheels drive your new perceived glory. You drop down the top of your import convertible just to tell me another sob story. Tear down half the town to build your white elephant? Not the least bit impressive to me. Mo mentions with stanchions, I'm just a hot celebrity. No, thank yours for block views of trees. Here you walk, come to talk. What could it be now? Diamond watch of gold gilded white saber. Your stocks sell, you must sell. Well, well, holy cow. So sad to lose you as a neighbor. And I don't know, something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
this one was really good. It was I kind of looked at the formatting of it and said, I know, I figured I'd get all tripped up on it because I'm good like that. But definitely, like, money. That's really the one word, money. You know, to be able to just, you know, have how many pairs of sneakers did it say? Where did it go?
14 pairs and 14 carat gold laser. Oh,
14 carat laces. Like, really? You know, and I went, okay. And then people don't use stacks of cash to feed their funeral pyres. That was a good one. Where's this one? You have a stash of cash you flagrantly flash. Oh boy, do you want me to know it? Forsooth in truth, I could give a rat tip, yet you still seem to showily show it. You know, there was some clever lines in here, but the point was well made. You know, how many different ways can you? So to me, it was kind of like, how can you waste money? How much money do you have to waste, actually, is my question. But clever and well done. I mean, he really made his point clear, and I think it was a great take on the song. Yeah, so great job, Chris Edom. I'm not familiar with that name, so.
No, he's brand new. I think I haven't seen Chris before either, but I asked him if we could read it. He said, absolutely. So thank you, Chris. And I did like it. He hit on both sides of the equation with how it is, the idea of that's the first angle. If you can't take it with you when you leave it all behind, what's the point in banking greenbacks brought in from the daily grind? That sort of when you leave it all behind is not just leaving the money behind, but when you yourself leave the world all behind. When you earn it, you should burn it, pay the bills, and treat yourself. Live within the lap of luxury. Drink liquor that top shelf. So there's the idea. If you've got this kind of money, do things with it other than just stash it in all over the place, hoping for a rainy day that really never comes because you've got way too much and you never spend it. And the idea is enjoy the life you have and you leave. But then he hits on the back end of this is having that and enjoying the life you leave and being so open with it that you're using it as a bragging tool, the sort of, McMansions with stanchions, I'm just not a celebrant. No thank yous for block views of truth, the idea of putting in so much around you that your neighbors can't enjoy their lives as well. And that sort of, I like this one, you drop down the top of your import convertible just to tell me another sob story. Oh, I'm so broke. It's such a burden. And then there was, and here you walk, come to talk. What could it be now? Diamond watch or gold hilted lightsaber? Yeah, that's a little over the top. And it shows some of the stupid things people will buy because they have money to burn, so to speak. It's that note of the funeral pyres in that in the last stanza of that first part. And then your stocks sell, you must sell. Well, well, holy cow. Again, that thought. You think that rainy day is never going to come, but all of a sudden, your wealth just flew out the door. It's so sad to lose you as a neighbor. That idea of, maybe you went over the top and you should have been a little bit more wiser with the money that you were spending, because you were doling it out like it was pennies instead of actual dollars. Nicely done, Chris. I like this. That end with a nice metaphorical treat and humor. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
All right. Where would you like to go now?
Well, the next thing I'm going to do is play the song Time. So here it goes. I'm going to hit the button right now.
Okay. back to back, the heart of that album. Yummy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, and I got another audio to follow that one up with. This one's by Eric Spencer. It's called Patent 2208-1960. So, I don't know. Here it goes. Let me hit the button.
Patent 2208-1960. Pollyanna, I lounge on my favorite oak tree limb. Green leaves canopy shade summer's inquisitive rays. Lime green caterpillars study my industry. Little horns twitter tweet in wonderment. Protective drone of bee buzz shields my secret. Pollyanna, well camouflaged from industrious farmyard activity, I tear strips from time's fabric to make me a rag doll. Boy from birth, I have an affinity with rag dolls. Time's fabric looks like Joseph's amazing technicolor dream coat. Think of a rainbow color spectrum. Pollyanna, I see this cadent cloak around some folks. Shoots out from their solar plexus like wheels spokes. Borealis bright, this aura phenomenon causes me to make this rag doll. Time's fabric needs delicate fingers, cause it's thinner than gossamer silken butterfly wings. Pollyanna knows this precious fabric is more resilient than titanium space shuttle wings. Time's fabric is hung out on the energetic ley lines that grid our planet. Think of the brightest, shiniest washing hung out to dry. Veritable, vibrant rainbows dancing in the wind. Calling you, even if you're a boy, to tear strips out of it to make a rag doll. Pollyanna learned in later years that folks misunderstand time. Newly created rag doll smiles back at me. Giggles splice nanoseconds as two horned lime green caterpillars tickle her toes. Bee drone suddenly intensifies protective shield with a thundering ode to joy. Forget linear time, folks. It's the vertical axis that buttons up your energetic bodies with evergreen, timeless heart joy. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Jean, what do you think?
Oh, no, I think I have to insist you go first on this one. I'm busy rereading.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right, I don't know what the title means. If there's a reference point for that, I might have to check and see. But obviously, it holds something. It might be to the thought, the fact that he's offering a Pollyanna. And since that came out in 1960, maybe that's the number for the film itself, which stars Hayley Mills. And the idea of working that as part of the time theme, because he draws on, I'm guessing he draws a lot from that movie itself, and the fact he's using Pollyanna throughout the piece as a starting point for each stanza. The idea, I lounge on my favorite oak tree limb, green leaves canopy, shade summits, inquisitive rays, lime green caterpillars study my industry, little horns twitter tweet in wonderment, protected drone of bee buzz shields my secret. So there is a note to the secret in that, and he walks into that from an industrious farmyard activity into, I tear strips from time's fabric to make a rag doll. boy from birth. I have an affinity with ragdolls. Tom's fabric looks like Joseph's amazing Technicolor dream coat. Think of a rainbow color spectrum. So since the movie itself is based on, well, people, it's known as the Pollyanna syndrome now, excessive hopefulness, which can border on the maybe tipping one over off into a psychosis if it's left too long. But this hits it through the whole thing. It walks on that note of hope. Tweet in wonderment. You've got the nice drone of buzzing bees, shielding secret, and then the thought of tearing strips to make a rag doll rainbow color spectrum. Again, it rolls into that. I see this Caden cloak around some folks. Shoots out from their solar plexus like wheel spokes. Borealis bright, this aura phenomenon causes me to make this rag doll. Time's fabric needs delicate fingers because it's thinner than gossamer silk and butterfly wings. That imparts a note to understanding that realm with the Pollyanna cloak, the cloak, so to speak, the multicolored, understanding, maybe not seeing the full multicolored cloak, but seeing within some people that also gives hope, because he runs on that, it's thinner than gossamer silk and butterfly wings, meaning it's on the hidden roll. And again, precious fabric is more resilient than titanium space shuttle wings. All right, it might be a hidden note to what is, but it's still there, and it still offers up that note of hope within, because he finishes out with the back end of this. Bee drone suddenly intensifies, protective shield, a thundering ode to joy. Happiness has walked into the sphere now. Forget linear time, folks. It's the vertical axis that buttons up your energetic bodies with evergreen, timeless heart joy. And that imparts a note to the full understanding in nature and loving oneself for it, and seeing that time comes across in many layers, and it does walk in a way that over time things evolve. And that's what we started out as, a note in that first stanza to hope of what might be, down to the last stanza where reality has walked in and the hope is no longer needed because joy has settled into the mixture as permanence. Does that help?
Did it help? Well, you know, I like this piece. I was just trying to like make sure I kind of pull it all together in my head. You know, the Pollyanna thing, I've heard the term, you know, Pollyanna. And it wasn't really sure what exactly people meant by it, but I can see that. And I see, you know, I see hope in that transformations. Caterpillars and butterflies are always transformations. And
yeah.
He speaks of the delicate nature of you know, the butterfly wings and the time, which is interesting because, you know, all in due time, things do transform. And then, you know, this other line that he puts in there, shoot out from their solar plexus like wheel spokes, borealis bright, and, you know, auras. And I think it is a hopeful piece that people will finally be able to be who they are instead of having to hide from everyone else. And I could be way off base, but that's kind of where this has taken me. And I think that... you know, as always, Eric, you know, always says wonderful lines, references. And I'm usually like in way over my head when Eric's pieces come on the board, only because he's got so many references going on that I can't absorb one before I'm into the next. So having you go first was absolutely a good idea for me because like, you picked on things that I wouldn't have caught, and then I got to reread something and kind of put it in a better perspective. But I hear...
Well, that's all right. I know when things get hard, I'm the first one up.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm no fool. And you know what? I'm not too proud to admit it either. It's like, no. But I grabbed this stanza here, and I grabbed the one that says, Pollyanna, I see this Caden oak cloak around some folks. Keep that from their solar plexus, like wheel spokes. Borealis Bright. This aura phenomenon causes me to make this rag doll. Time's fabric needs delicate fingers because it's thinner than gossamer silk and butterfly wings. So, you know, it's very delicate. I didn't get the rag doll reference throughout. So, you know, and I'm sure it probably is as obvious to everyone else as it is, like, got me lost. But it was definitely a well-done piece and a great take on the song itself. Yeah, Eric's good like that. You know, if he didn't have anything great to say, he'd have left it alone. And I believe that, you know. But great job, Eric, and thanks for sharing with us tonight. Really well done piece.
Excellent.
Okay. So let me go over here and see what I'm up against next. Okay, I'll give this one next a try. The Sun Yields to None by Poetic Creations. That I just did. And I put that over here. You know, things just don't want to cooperate with me today. I see many parades. I'm having a police syndrome.
Are they sitting heavy?
Maybe. Okay, this is called The Sun Yields to None by Poetic Creations. The clock is ticking so fast. Yesterday I ran away. I'm not ahead of the crowd. I was left behind. I'd stay in the light all day, but even the light fades. Inside my mind, shadows misbehave. So unkind. Entrapped in this darkness, I can't find my way. Clouds in the sky, I touch my cheek to feel the rain. Shivers down my spine. Life is cold again today. Snow covers the ground, but it won't numb my pain. Same, but every day is a bit older, like an undead passion after death it still smolders. Resting in sunlight, I was warm, yet I clawed back. The sun is warm, but I'm lost, traversing in the black. Time has no meaning, absent length, width, and height, yet it's because of time that I endure this frigid bite. It's not for a winter breeze I'd likely not feel ever again. Numerous pleasures exist, but they call all of them sin. Time is a series of waves that are drowning me again. I tried to rise after the fall, but I just keep on slipping. I'm dancing around on one leg, holding a kicked shin. At night, I find myself awake on my pillow. I'm gripping. Sunlight is warm, but I'm slipping down the mountain. Forwards, I climb, but man can't touch skies up high. I got high on drugs, and I drank booze from a fountain. I chased sunshine through the darkness until I died. End poem. Wow.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And I'm just catching up. I had to go get the link. It didn't show up.
Oh, I thought I put it on.
I like this for the what it offers. Sun yields to none, and then rolls the thought of pain and loneliness and feeling say melancholy, maybe depressed. Kind of walks through the whole thing. The clock is ticking so fast. Yesterday I ran away. I'm not ahead of the crowd. I was left behind. I stay in the light all day, but even light fades. Inside my mind, shadows misbehave. So unkind. So already he's walking off that note of there's a distinction in the moment and what the illusion is, because he keeps going. Snow covers the ground, but it won't numb the pain. The sun stays the same, but every day it's a bit older. So time is moving on, but it's not, it's running in this, it's almost as if the time is running on the very same clock of the feelings that he's expressing, and they're all on the same level. Like an undead passion after death, it still smolders. Resting in sunlight, I was warm, yet I clawed back. The sun is warm, but I'm lost, traversing in the black. To keep going back to that note of, you might get a little bit of sun warmth here, but he still finds himself in black moods or falling out of or crawling into the coldness, because he still has, and the next one down. Time has no meaning, absent the length, width, and height. Yet it's because of time that I endure this frigid bite. If not for a winter breeze, I'd likely not feel ever again. Numerous pleasures exist, but they call all of them sin. And then a series of ways are drowning me again. I tried to rise after the fall, but I just keep on slipping. I'm dancing around on one leg, holding a kicked shin. At night, I find myself on awake on my pillow. I'm gripping. There's some deep pain in this one. And then the back end of this, I got high on drugs, and I drank booze from a fountain. I chased sunshine through the darkness until I died. Doesn't offer up what the pain is, so it could walk a number of angles. Then love lost, to not feeling love at all, to depression, melancholy, and a number of other angles. That sort of being left behind kind of hints at that serious loneliness there. And gripping the pillow in that one stanza, I'm feeling like he's been kicked in the shin. If you get kicked in the shin, that's a lot of pain right there. And that story, sunlight is warm, but I'm slipping down the mountain. Forwards I climb, but man can't touch skies up high. He feels it's abysmal, as though he's drowning in a void that he can't crawl out of. But briefly, for moments, and steps right back into that void, and it weighs heavy. Nicely done there, PC. All right, Gene. What do you think?
Well, you know, I had to start out my comment with, no matter what we face, time always marches on. Because it's a fact. You know, no matter how bad it is or how good it is, time doesn't care. Time just keeps moving. And, you know, we either catch up or we don't. You know, I mean, that sounds very, you know, kind of blasé on my part. But it's a reality. One that I'm not real crazy about sometimes, but, you know, I try. I had to grab the first two stanzas of this poem. The clock is ticking so fast. Yesterday I ran away. I'm not ahead of the crowd. I was left behind. I'd stay in the light of day, but even the light fades. Inside my mind, shadows misbehave. Oh, unkind. And then entrapped is the darkness. I can't find my way. Clouds in the sky. I touch my cheek to feel the rain. Shivers down my spine. Life is cold again today. Snow covers the ground, but it won't numb my pain. You know, I think those two stanzas pretty much, it's like no matter what we face, time marches on. And, you know, sometimes you can feel like you're just never going to catch up. You know, you're never going to get where you need to be. It's like the white rabbit. You know, I'm late. You know, always I'm late. And you're just spinning your wheels trying to get there. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter where is or there is. You spin your wheels trying to get there, trying to be there, trying to be in that place that you think you need to be. Whereas, you know, the here and now is most important always. That's a secret someone once told me. But I thought they were two great stanzas leading us into this well-penned piece. Great take on the prompt, and I thought it was nice work. So thank you, Poetic Creations. Nice job.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm, I had that mm-hmm. white rabbit thought with the green caterpillar in Eric's piece.
See? Yeah, but he had his hookah. He was a happy caterpillar. You know? That's the difference. But,
yeah.
That's so good. But it was really a good piece, though. Clever stuff. You know, it's funny how time can bring out some of the neatest of light. Because we all have a different perception of it. Even though it's all the same, time is time. We all have a different perception of it. And I think that's pretty cool. Okay, Rex, you ready for one?
Sure.
I know you are. Don't try and fool me. I know you're chomping at the bit to read one. I know it. This is called Find the Time by Mindful. So whenever you're ready. And I put it up.
Okay. Find the Time by Mindful. I hear the gentle ticking of a clock no one can see. I find that I am wishing a better place to be. Days of pain incessant and toil through the years have rendered life unpleasant and stirred my deepest fears. Find the time I do not keep, I'll get behind when I sleep. It's rather dark when I'm alone. The time I mark is too soon gone. Find the time. I find no pleasure in the task. It's a means to my demise. I see tomorrow's like the past with far more brilliant skies. To find the time I do not keep, I'll get behind when I sleep. It's rather dark when I'm alone. The time I mark is too soon gone. Find the time. In time I'll find a reason. I'm still here by design. I'll stay another season if I can only find the time. And boom. Aha, there you go. What do you think on that?
Mm-hmm. This is another great piece. I mean, we've had so many really good ones tonight. Find the time I do not keep, I'll get behind when I sleep. It's rather dark when I'm alone. The time I mark is too soon gone. Find the time. There's a great repeat line in here, or line, great repeat stanza. I think that it really, it's pretty deep. You know, find the time I do not keep, I'll get behind when I sleep. It's like, you know, as soon as I rest, everything, you know, falls behind. You know, I think we all can relate to that in a way. In time, I'll find a reason. I'm still here by design. I'll stay another season if I can only find the time. I don't know. I think it's a great piece by Mindful, and I think it's a good take on that prompt for sure. I like the way that he, addressed time with all this. Great lines throughout. And it just feels like it's not a, I don't find it to be a cheerful piece or a light piece. You know, there's definitely a lot of sadness or melancholy, as we say sometimes, in this piece. And but if I can only find the time, God, how many times we all felt that way? It's like there's not enough hours in the day, not enough hours in the week. You know, but you know, it's hurry up, hurry up, hurry up for what? But that's my thoughts. Anyway, excellent piece, Mindful, and I really enjoyed it. So thanks for sharing.
There's a nice, easy flow in this that rolls off the tongue and through the mind. By the time you finish reading, you find out, hey, I read that too quickly, and you roll up, and you can find it goes just as quickly the second time, but it has a nice ring to it. Those two opening stanzas, I think, tell the story to begin with, and then you've got what amounts to almost a chorus, find the time I do not keep, I'll get behind when I sleep. It's rather dark when I'm alone. The time I mark is too soon gone. Find the time. Now, those first two stanzas, I hear the gentle ticking of a clock no one can see. I find that I am wishing a better place to be. That gentle ticking of a clock, there's that note to the internal clock, you understand. Life is winding down, so to speak. And he gets that with the next stanza. Days of pain incessant and toil through the years have rendered life unpleasant and stirred my deepest fears. Again, that note is to age, toil through the years, and the incessant pain. So we've been doing something throughout life that has caused some incessant pain to the body that is always there. And the thought that it renders life unpleasant and stirs the deepest fears also hits back at that ticking internal clock. And that chorus stanza I hit on also walks that way. I find the time I do not keep. So there's a, even though he's watching time and wishing for better things, he finishes that stanza by finding the time, and the time he marks is too soon gone, because you get that notion of a watched clock never ticks. But this watch clock is also moving at a pace that they're not akin to and don't like. And then it's on it. I find no pleasure in the task. It's a means to my demise. I see tomorrow's like the past with far more brilliant skies. There's that note that's kind of melancholic right there. Looking back to better days of youth when you were healthier, and with that understanding that things were a lot easier than they are now. And again, that repeat chorus. And then to finish up, in time I'll find a reason. I'm still here by design. I'll stay another season if I can only find the time. And again, it kind of paints that note to you're watching time too much to actually enjoy the time that you are living. And you're not living it right because you're watching for the time. So the idea, hey, get away from the damn clocks. Go outside. Sit in the sunlight. Take a walk in the park. Walk in the woods. Enjoy a bit of sound through the trees, the wind blowing, birds chirping, squirrels running up the trees, maybe a little river rushing into a lake. Something that brings a note of a person, that personal nature that actually speaks to the body itself and brings a leaf in a different way. Nicely done, Michael. Thank you.
Oh, no.
All right. Where would you like to go next?
Okay, sing a little something.
Sing a little something of yesterday.
There you go. Sing a little more. Yes, yes, yes.
How about that? Okay. Woke up this evening, gonna have some fun. Pinhead always said you were the risen one.
My God. Okay. Almost. Oh, my God. And then must have left an impact of sorts on you. Okay, let me see what this one is. This one, now I'm going to try and give it a read. See what happens here. And this one is called Time. Imagine that. Here we go. This is Time by Glenn's. Oh, here we go. Can you remember 20 years ago, things that you did wrong? Now many years are in between. It doesn't seem that long. All those years we wasted, the good old days now left behind. Time forever going forward as the past drifts out of mind. My youth was full of options that the present doesn't hold. Mistakes, regrets, and losing bets. I never saw myself get old. I'm lucky that I've made it. I've lost some friends along the way. Time will wait for no man. Life is full of yesterday. End poem.
Great read, Gene. And I love that ending note. I'm lucky that I've made it. I've lost some friends along the way. Time will wait for no man. Life is full of yesterday. That is true when he hits on that notion up front. Where was it? Do you remember 20 years ago and all things you did wrong? And now many years in between, it doesn't seem that long. Yeah, the funny thing is, when you're young, you think you've got forever. The days are laid out before you, but before you know it, all of a sudden, 10 and 20 years have gone by, and it's like, holy shit, where did it all go? Mm-hmm. And
the blink of an eye, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's all those years are wasted, or we wasted, the good old days are left behind, time forever going forward as the past drifts out of mind. So the mistakes, regrets, losing bets, the thought of lost some friends along the way kind of hints at getting into things that you really shouldn't have as a kid, like driving too fast, doing drugs, doing other things, and all of a sudden, wow, where did it all go? But that that last stanza puts it all in perspective because it's at the notion, I'm lucky that I've made it because I've lost friends along the way. And like he says, time will wait for no man. And if your life is full of regrets, then your life is full of yesterday. So nicely done, Glenn. So that was a great finish there. Thank you very much. All right, Gene. How about
you? Well, you know, I thought this was a wonderful piece. I really enjoyed it all the way through. You know, I think there was great stanzas throughout. I grabbed up the last two. My youth was full of options that the present doesn't hold. Mistakes, regrets, and losing bets. I never saw myself get old. You know, how true is that? How true is that? Very true. I'm sure you hit on it somewhere there, Rex. That last stanza is so true, even more so, I think. I'm lucky that I've made it. I've lost some friends along the way. Yeah, that's, you know, sadly true. Time will wait for no man. Life is full of yesterdays. You know, and the older we get, the more yesterdays are behind us. And at one point we look, I guess maybe they came up with Over the Hill with this one, but at one point you look and you say, wow, I have more yesterdays than I have tomorrows. you know you've hit that spot where, you know, you've definitely, yeah, there's more behind you than there's going to be in front of you. I don't know what they're talking about with that. Just saying.
Well,
you
do get to a point in time when reality smacks you in the face, and but when you get to that point, you should understand those tomorrows. You should enjoy each and every bloody one of them, because you don't know how long they last.
Absolutely. It could be one, it could be 101, it could be 3001. You never know. But I'm not in a hurry, Lord. I'm not in a hurry. Just let me sit down here and complain. I'm good at it. It's all good. But I did. I thought this was a great piece by Glenn. I'm not familiar with the name, but I hope we see more of his work. Definitely great stuff. Yep. I like it a lot. Oh, gosh, what are we now? Here we go again, Rex. Okay, and we'll have the next piece for you. We all ready?
Yes.
Okay, this piece is by Eski. And it's called Secondhand Illusion. Not illusion, illusion. Got to make sure I say that correctly. And let me go back here. And whenever you're ready, Rex, I just put it up.
I've been seeing a lot of Eski lately, so that's cool.
Yeah, the name is somewhat new to me, but I've seen it popping up all over the place, different shows, different contests.
Yeah, it is new to me, too, but it's good to see that Eski is rolling through a bunch of different thoughts and having fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Secondhand Illusions by Eski. Minutes stacked in empirical blocks, casting shadows across swollen cheeks, punished by epiphany and relentless clocks, worn-out shoes and endless leaks, matted feathers on bartered wings, recurrent secondhand illusions, using whispers of happy endings, supplicant to foregone conclusions, a moat amongst pristine grains of sand, static in the waste of an hourglass, a redundant metaphor, hope's last stand, clutching elusive rings of brass. The anointed king of oblivion, preaching to his loyal subjects, raging against time's dominion in monologue strained and circumspect by the hands of gravity that pulls in an inexorable tide, racing to fulfill prescient destiny of reciprocal suicide. Inverted in endless cycles, cognizance born with new breath, chapters in infinity's chronicles, and obviously on each side of death. And poem. Aha. All right.
No.
You going to kick us off, too?
I don't know. If I don't behave myself, I might get kicked off myself. Wow. You know, the lead into this piece is pretty awesome. Minutes stacked in empirical blocks, casting shadows across swollen cheeks by epiphany and relentless clocks, worn-out shoes and endless weeks. And that just, it makes you want more because you want to read more about what's going on. But matted feathers on bartered wings, recurrent secondhand illusions, moving whispers of things. Supplicant to foregone conclusions. It's a great piece. There's a lot going on in it, and it's a story told. Yeah, because that's exactly what it looks to me as, a story. And it goes through each stanza, takes you just a touch further. Untouched by the hand of gravity that pulls an inexorable tide, racing to fulfill pressing destiny, reciprocal suicide. Wow, you know. I don't know. I think it's pretty amazing piece. And the end, what a tough ending here. Inverted in endless cycles, cognizance born with new breath, chapters in infinity's chronicles, an odyssey on each side of death. I don't know. It looks a little rough to me. And I see here it says death, family, spiritual, society, and nature. But it really is very well put together. And I did like this very much, Esky. I'm sorry that I don't have a really great I don't know. Sometimes I really suck at coming up with things. But Rex is going to tell us all about it because that's what he does.
Okay. I do like the short with secondhand illusions. That's a nice opening piece before you even get into the poem. But that first stanza offers up a really nice note. Minutes stacked in empirical blocks. I like that both for what it offers, but also it offers up the allusion to bricks in a wall. The wall from Pink Floyd that back over a few years from here. Casting shadows across swollen cheeks. The idea growing each day, you're putting another one up. And then punished by epiphany and relentless clocks. The epiphany along the line, you realize, oh, shit. I should have known that years ago. And then, again, the thought there, relentless clock, worn-out shoes and endless weeks. The worn-out shoes hits the note of walking in time and endless weeks. And then hits on that note also of the thought of the empirical block. Keep on the same path without deviating. So it offers up that note of the epiphany should have come a lot sooner. I like, too, the matted feathers on barred wings offers up that note of selling yourself out. Recurrent secondhand illusions. Secondhand illusions like secondhand clothes or hand-me-down clothes. Muting whispers of happy endings. Supplicant to foregone conclusions. So you think there's going to be happy endings, but all of a sudden now, because of selling yourself out, it gets muted. And all of a sudden, you find yourself on the back end of that. You're given in to foregone conclusions. And I did like this one, especially that second line. A moat amongst pristine grains of sand, static in the waste of an hourglass. A redundant metaphor, hope's last stand, clutching elusive rings of breath. And that is offers a moat, and then quantifies it with a semicolon amongst pristine grains of sand. That's us. You look at the hourglass, it's filled at the top. That, as it rolls down one grain of sand at a time, it represents the years going back to that first stanza. Static in the waste of an hourglass offers that the note of being stuck in the moment or stuck in a position that keeps rolling itself. And then you hear that redundant metaphor. That's a nice touch. And hope's last stand, clutching elusive rings of breath. Again, with that note to sell out in the second one and that thought of always going for the brass ring instead of working yourself there, it kind of hits that notion of you're not ready for that brass ring. You need to work at it and understand what happens when you get there. If you're going to grab it and all of a sudden it just dematerializes out of your fingers, then you lose all hope. The Anointed King of Oblivion, that's a hard note right there. Preaching to loyal subjects, raging against time's dominion, in monologues, strained and circumspect. That last line there hits on the idea. That gives me the note of a soliloquy, Hamlet, woe is me, and all that stuff. And then the finish out this inverted endless cycles, cognizance born with new breath, offers up that note. Instead of breathing with the same thought in mind, breathe anew. Chapters in Infinity's Chronicles, and Odyssey on each side of death. I think that Odyssey on each side of death is time still ticks while you're alive and while you're dead. So it's the same on both sides. Now, which side do you really want to choose? All right, we're coming back to you.
Okie dokie. Yeah, the next song I'm going to put up is Rainbow.
The lunatic is on the grass. The lunatic is on the grass. remembering games and daisy chains and locks. Got to keep the loonies on the park. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my home. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. And if the dam breaks open many years too soon, and if there is no moon upon the hill, and if your head explodes, the dark proposes too, I'll see you on the dark side. The lunatic is in my head. You raise the blade, you make the change, you rearrange me till I'm sane. You lock the door, throw away the key. There's someone in my head, but it's not me. And if the cloud bursts thunder in your ears, you shout and no one seems to hear. And if the band you're in starts playing,
that's the end of the song. No, it was kind of abrupt, I thought, but okay. Now, Rex, normally I wouldn't ask you to read the same, like read two in a row, but I'm going to ask you to read this one for me by Poetic Creation, because I'm going to be jams tonight, and I don't usually do that. So here we go, whenever you're ready.
Colors of the Rainbow by Poetic Creations. There is a prism perpetually spinning, a faceted diamond that's grinning. Together we're bound, crystal twinning, twin flames joining at the beginning. Red is blood that together we shed. Orange is the acid that put us to bed. Yellow hands that know not touch. Green is growth of pain that I clutch. Blue was the day you left me alone. Indigo are the striations across bone. Violet is the fall of rain flooding in. Silent is breathing that's never been, nauseated in a prison cell that's killing before they send me another bill. Kicks and jollies just for plastic grins, pins and needles all over my skin. The air is too thin to breathe, so I'll die again. On the dark side of the moon is a violin, playing in a silent night, as dark as a rose, but there's no oxygen, so I'll never grow. On the dark side, shadows are relentless, so the red rose wears a black dress. The brilliance of a diamond goes unseen, unnoticed by frigid metal machines. and poem. How about you?
Thank
you.
Rex. Nice reading. Well, you know, as I'm reading this with you, it's funny because I'm just envisioning the album cover, you know, all the colors, the rainbow, the prism, you know, and how he addressed each one. I thought that was a nice touch throughout this piece. And he did a lot with that. Then he got into the nauseated in a prison cell that's killing before they send me another bill. Kicks and jollies, just protested then. Pins and needles all over my skin. I thought of last night's show again. I thought it was really nicely pulled together. The air is too thin to breathe, so I'll die again. On the dark side of the moon as a violin, playing in a silent night as dark as a rose, but there's no oxygen, so it'll never grow. Great lines, great thoughts throughout here. It was a well done, darker piece. But I really do. I felt that he really addressed this album cover wonderfully throughout. I'm not, you know, maybe I'm just seeing things, but you know, I've done that before too.
No,
so thank
I can
you
really do that.
Yeah, that's all I kept going back to, you know, and I thought it was, yeah, nicely pulled together. Yeah, yeah.
It is, because that first stanza works on that level. There is a prism perpetually spinning, a facet diamond that's grinning. Together we're bound, crystal twinning, twin flames join at the beginning. That hits on that note of the light going into that prism on the one side where it is the beginning, twin flames join at the beginning, and then the expansion out as it's refracted into that that note of colored void that you can actually identify. And like the use, he's got red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet for those next two stanzas, which offer up notes. Red is blood that together we shed. Orange is the acid that put us to bed. Oh, I like that note. Orange is the acid. The thought of actually doing this on acid, then listening to the whole album while picturing the cover. Yellow hands that know not touch. Green is growth of pain that I cluck. Now it's getting a little bit into the darker angle, and that third stanza really hits the right note. Blue was the day you left me alone. Indigo are the striations across bone. Violet is the fall of rain flooding in. Silence is breathing that's never been. Now, because of that ending line, it works right back into that to the blue. Blue was the day you left me alone. It kind of hits in that note of silence is breathing that's never been, because now he's alone, because she's gone. Nauseated in prison cell that's killing before they send me another bill. Kicks and jollies just for the plastic grins. Pins and needles all over my skin. Now that kind of hits at the note of being institutionalized. The pins and needles all over my skin. And before they send me another bill. Hey, you might be in, but you're going to get the bill. And that's sort of the air is too breathe. It's too thin, so I'll breathe. I'll die again. On the dark side of the moon is a violin. Now that one, I like that line, just for what it offers up. On the dark side of the moon is a violin. The thought of the dark side of the moon might be your brain at the moment. And that violin is, hey, let me play you a violin as you moan and groan about your troubles, so to speak. And then on the dark side, shadows are relentless. So the red rose wears a black dress. I like that allusion right there. The brilliance of the diamond goes unseen, unnoticed by frigid metal machines. Ooh, the back end of this walks a darker note to the institutionalized thought in that nauseated in the prison cell that's killing. Ooh, nicely done, PC, and thanks for dropping on the board for us.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, well, this last one is Any Color You Like is the song. And here we go.
Yeah.
Beginning of that sounded like a burbling river, and then into a short drop off, into the burbling again, another short drop off, and then a big waterfall splash down to a pool, and then it kind of spreads out into the softness of the glade it eventually gets into.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool, very cool. Okay, Rex, well, for the last piece of the night, last but never least, is a piece by Pam Ray called Hyacinth Kisses in a Shamanistic Heart. So, I'm going to give this one a read. I hope I don't screw it up. Hyacinth Kisses in a Shamanistic Heart by Pam Ray. Mystic themes, prismatic scenes, fey folks frolicking in phantasm foreplay. Lovers of the great blue sky, jewels are falling from open eyes. Dream catchers twirling, swirling, cosmic smiles curling. Ride high, Mothman, on this rainy day where roads are drenched, will-o'-wisps leading to the way home. There's love in my back pocket, tucked away to manifest the crystals, hung from the shamanistic heart. Poetic principles, shards of shorelines, lingering, euphoria of hyacinth kisses. Dropping liquid pearls into pondering palms, shadows on the backdrop of home-cooked stew and buttered bread, fresh from the clay oven. Wafting senses, riding the luxury of velvet touches, revealed in desert moonlight. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. Thanks. I like that opening note. Mystic scenes, prismatic scenes, save folks, frolic, and phantasm foreplay. There's a nice note to, I can't think of it. Lovers of the great blue sky, jewels are falling from open eyes, dream catchers, twirling, swirling, cosmic smiles, curling. The fantasy angle for this is lovely. And that thought, the next one, ride high, Mothman, on this rainy day where roads are drenched, will-o'-wisps leading the way to home. There's a dark note in that thought of ride high, Mothman. And then right back, there's love in my back pockets, the crystal shamanistic heart, the poetic principles, shards of shoreline. I swear this back end of this, she must have been thinking the same thing, listening to that song about the burbling river going a little bit down into another pool, another burbling into the pool, and then to a bigger drop into a waterfall into a bigger scene, because you got pondering palms, shadows on backdrop, home-cooked stew, buttered bread, and desert moonlight. So you must have rolled the same thought with the song itself. What about you?
Oh, I thought this was just a fabulous read. Such a pretty piece in my mind. Wonderful imagery and so very well penned. I thought it was a fabulous tale she told. And it just, I don't know, it was just beautiful. And I loved, you know, besides the title, I did love the title, Hyacinth Kisses in a Shamanistic Heart. What a pretty title that is. And I love where she spoke with the shamanistic heart, there's love in my back pocket, tucked away to manifest the crystals hung from a shamanistic heart. And then I like the poetic principles, shards of shorelines, lingering euphoria, hyacinth kisses. Just, it was just lovely. And then she brings us down to this, like, this next stanza, which is so down to earth, 2 feet on the floor, you know what I mean? Dropping liquid pearls into pondering palms, shadows on a backdrop of home-cooked stew and buttered bread, fresh from the clay oven. That's a wonderful, it's relatable. It's relatable. And I think that it was just a really well-done piece. So thank you, Pam. I'm glad I got to read it. Usually I try to be careful because I figure I'll mess it up. But
yeah, you got something to do. Not scary.
Yeah, I didn't get scared. That's right. It was purdy. It was purdy. Yes, yes, yes. So anyway, great show, Rex. And what do you have for after midnight?
After midnight, I've got, what do I got? Oh, Quoth the Ozman. I've got some quotes from Ozzy Osbourne to play with. And I got about 13 in that right now, I think. I haven't looked in the last couple of hours. So we're on a good roll with that one, too. And then the TV theme songs for next Sunday is doing good. I've got 6 in there right now. We'll see how that plays out. And this was a great show, Gene. And perfectly timed. So it fits.
Yes, that was pretty crazy.
Yes, didn't have to dip into our bag of tricks to find out, how are we going to figure out the last few minutes?
Yeah. I don't know, but I don't know. I didn't quite catch what you said. I turned my hearing aid up. Anyway, tomorrow night, Louie Wildove, Front Page Picks on the Garden of Enlightenment, and I hope everyone will join in and visit with her. Rex, I hope you have a great show tomorrow night. Rex and Pam are always looking for someone to call in and talk with them. You know, we know late nights are a little bit tough on everybody, but yeah, somebody could do it. Somebody. And so that's that. Wednesday, I have The Art of Seduction, but I don't know if anyone's going to cooperate with me, so I guess we'll see what happens. It might be short and sweet.
Nah, I'll just figure something out.
As long as we all get to smile, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Really.
And on that note, too funny.